Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get down, down.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well now, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. Good to be back in the seat here in the studio, coming to you from the beautiful blue waters and sandy beaches of Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Naples area. Yes, it is good to be with you here today. Got a couple of guests coming up a little later on. We're going to have David Swanson. Congratulations to David. I know David, and I know he's thrilled with the success of his new book, Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and the Forming of a More Perfect Union. Congratulations to David on that book. And we're also going to have David Nybert, Weigel with us. Almost confused him with our friend Dave Nyward over at Crooks and Liars. The Washington Independent did a big story on that fabulous How to Take Back America conference that took, my God, that had to be something out of Star Trek or something. Woo! Anyway, we'll talk about that just a little bit later. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to join us on the program here. We'll have lines open all day long. Except when we have our guest on, 866-546-5254. It's a toll-free number. And, well, you'd just be crazy if you didn't call in and talk for a while and make yourself nationally famous, huh? Yeah. Because we are streaming all across the country and all around the world. I want to make good on a promise that I made somebody. I do want to make good on a promise. You may hear the Guy James today that maybe a little rough around the edges, if you know what I mean. I have moods like everybody else, and when I get screwed by somebody that's in the business world, I like to let them know about it. I like to let them know that I'm going to let the public know about it. So I'd like to say hello to all those thieving sons of bitches, particularly the manager, Leon, down at Galliana Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Fort Myers, Florida. Yes, I would. The guy's an unreasonable thief. Tried to screw me really good, did screw me really good, and I wanted to let all the public know that I wouldn't buy a car, I wouldn't go near Galliana Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Fort Myers, Florida, under any circumstances ever, and I will warn any of you that are listening in the area to stay away from them crooked bastards, especially the general manager named Leon. So there, I promised Leon I would say that, and he didn't take me seriously, and I promise I'll probably say it again throughout the day today and send Leon a clip of it. Leon, there's an old saying that if you fuck with a truck, you get run over. Yeah. And so, Leon, I'm going to do my best. Guy tried to charge me $1,150 for an auto repair job, but I ended up getting done for $260. And then had him stand there and swear to me how he's being so honest with me. So we'll see. Oh, we're going to talk about credit cards a little later on in the program today. We will do that. We plan on talking about credit cards. Also, I want to talk about how the Guy James Show is now on the endangered species list. The end is definitely near unless we find some funding somewhere very, very quickly somewhere, and I don't know where that'll be. I really am finally at the end of my rope trying to find funding for the program. So we are officially on the endangered species list. I think many of you already knew that. Things of note around the country today before we get to David Swanson. David will be coming up in just about 10 minutes, 9 minutes, something like that. Afghanistan's in the news today. The president is being advised by McChrystal to send at least, 35,000 more troops to Afghanistan. My advice to President Obama, if he would ask for my advice, and he's going to get my advice whether he wants it or not, leave. Leave. Leave now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Start packing today. Get every American man, woman, and child out of that godforsaken place now while you still can. Remember what happened in Vietnam. Most recently, remember what happened in Iraq. Remember what happened when we got to fooling around where we shouldn't have, and what happened during Reagan's watch in all of a sudden I can't think of the city in Jordan. So remember all those things. And get out. Get out of Afghanistan. Get out right now. Don't send one more of our precious American soldiers into that godforsaken place. Take a look at history. See what's happened to every invading army that ever took over that place. Get the hell out. Please, Mr. President, I beg you, get the hell out. Don't listen to the hawks. Beat it. Scram. Get out. And if the Republicans want to scream that we're soft on defense, let them. Screw them. Who cares what the goddamn Republicans think anyway? I don't care what they think anymore. You shouldn't care what they think anymore. No one should care what they think anymore. They've proven that over and over and over again. Ever since you've taken office, all they've done is become truly the party of no. They would, I think if President Obama right now came up with something to do away with Roe v. Wade, they'd probably vote no. That's what kind of a mindset they've been in. So screw them. I don't care what the Republicans think. Enough of this hand across the aisle bipartisan shit. It doesn't work. It does not work. He should know that. And I know he had good intentions. I know he wanted to be everyone's president. Well, he's not going to be everyone's president, because they will not accept him as the president. They've made that abundantly clear. There's approximately, 30% of the people in this country that wouldn't accept anything, nothing, zero, zip, nada, nothing that Obama could come up with. About 30% of the people that have been polled said they wouldn't agree with one single thing he wanted to do, not now, not ever. So keep that in mind. Please keep that in mind, Mr. President. And keep in mind that the people who elected you, sir, want us out of Afghanistan if you would poll the people that voted for you. The people that voted for you, Mr. President, would be an overwhelming number against putting one more of our young men and women in Afghanistan. In fact, an overwhelming number would tell you today just what I'm saying is get out. Get out before one more American dies in that worthless piece of real estate. It's good for growing poppies. It's good for producing heroin. It's good for getting Americans killed. Good for getting Russians killed. It's good for getting anyone killed that goes in there. If Al-Qaeda is such a big goddamn deal, and it must be to somebody, there's a few hundred of them, they say, there, then put in a secret force or something, a Delta force or some kind of that, to go after a few hundred people. We don't need several hundred thousand, sir. Get out. Get out. I'm telling you right now, Mr. Obama, if you want to become a one-term president, If that's what you want, if that's what you want your legacy to be, if you want to forsake all the people that pulled the lever for you, all the men and women in this country who donated money that they probably couldn't afford, 5, 10, 20, 50 bucks to your campaign, you're so proud of the fact that you got money from so many people, the little donation people that put you in office, sir, you won't have them next time around. I know I, for one, wouldn't vote for you if you don't get out of Afghanistan. That would be it for me. If there's an escalation of troops in Afghanistan, I'm done. I am done. I don't care what happens on health care. I do. I don't care what happens anything else. We made a promise to get out of the wars over there, and you absolutely must keep that promise. Got to be done sooner than later before another American gets killed there. That whole frickin' country isn't worth the death of one American. Not to say nothing of the innocent Afghanis that are being killed there as well. Let them take care of their own problems. Their government is corrupt. It's a government we helped install, just as the corrupt government we helped install in Iraq is corrupt and worthless. Have we not learned our lesson there by now? Makes me wonder about the people leading our country when we see one disaster after another in the Middle East, and we persist in going back for more. Get slammed in the head with a sledgehammer and say, "Oh, I think that felt so good, I'll have another, sir." That's what's been happening to us when we put our nose into places where we don't belong. Keeps coming back to the Israelis, doesn't it? Keeps coming back to the Israelis. We have to protect our great ally, Israel, and you know all of this is because of Israel. All of it is because of Israel, and don't come up with your, you must be... anti-Semitic bullshit. I don't care what you think, what I think. I'm not anti-Semitic. Some of my best friends are Jews. The Israelis are ones who started this Iranian problem that we have right now. They started it. We talk about Iran building a few nukes. How many has Israel got? And why does Iran want to build them? Why does Iran and the rest of the countries in that area want to have nuclear weapons? Why? Because of Israel. That's why. Not that they want to destroy Israel. Oh, no. The neocons like to put that forward as the reason. That's not it at all. They fear Israel. As well they should. So, let's just tell it like it is for a change. Let's just tell it exactly like it is for a change. We're going to pause for a break. We're going to get David Swanson on the phone, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. So I hope you don't go anywhere.
Remember when the days were long, cold beneath the deep blue sky. Didn't have a care in the world, mother and daddy spending fine. Happily ever after fate, been poisoned by these fairy tales. Lawyers dwell on small details. Daddy had to fly. Oh, and I'm a place where we can go, still untouched by rain. Oh, we could sit and watch the clouds roll by, tall grass, waves and wind. Oh, you can lay your head back on the ground, let your we
candle, wash away their sin. Oh, let's watch the clouds roll by and the tall grass waves in the wind. Oh, you carry your head back on the ground. Let your hair fall all around you. Offer up your best defense.
Oh, here we are having gremlins with the phone already. How I love that. Let's try this again here. All right. Our X-Lite phone doesn't seem to be working, so we'll try it again here. Bear with me. Oh, it's not even ringing. Don't know what's up with that. Well, well, well. Love it when we have these phone problems. Let's try it again. All right, we're going to go back and put another tune on just for a minute. And, we'll be right back.
A perfect day. The sun is sinking low. Gentle breezes blow. The time we shared went by so fast, just like a dream. We knew it couldn't last.
David, we have you on the line here somehow. I don't know whether we've got lines crossed inside out or what, but welcome to the Guy James Show, David.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We have David Swanson. As many everybody knows who David Swanson is. Dave's been on the show a few times, not since he's had this unbelievable success with this new book. Congratulations, David. My, oh, my. You must be...
Thank you very much.
You must be happy indeed.
I like writing books. If I could begin to somewhat spin off it, that would be wonderful.
Well, have you had one with this much success?
This is my first book. People have always asked me about my books, and I've never actually had one before. I have written introductions to books and chapters of books and so forth, but I've just been a blogger until now.
Well, actually, for first time out for a book, this one's selling like hotcakes, and there's no reason why it shouldn't. It's a great book. Many of you know David's the co-founder of the After Downing Street Coalition, and he's been very active in politics. David's been everywhere. Sometimes, David, I wonder about you, how you get around so much, your speaking engagements. You've got a tour going on right now, don't you?
I'm going to 47 cities, and there's a schedule at davidswanson.org, and it's too many. I'm not going to do as many on the next book, but it's valuable. I'm learning a lot myself, aside from going around and talking about the book.
What's the best thing and the worst thing about going on a book tour?
Well, the worst thing is being away from home. I have a wife and a 3-year-old boy. The best thing is the people you meet who have stories to tell, who will never touch a keyboard, will never get in the corporate media, will never write a book. And you can, there are many, many valuable things you can learn only by getting to people face to face and having them tell you.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That's, you know, I feel the same way about traveling. I've traveled this country extensively, and there's no better way to do it than by car or motorcycle off the beaten path, off the interstates, and meet the people in Podunk, Arkansas, and wherever it is you want to go. Get out amongst them, and that's what you're doing right now. 47. Well,
yeah.
that's gonna be a challenge.
And the next stops are New Mexico and then Florida.
You're going to be where is it you're going to be in Florida? Orlando?
I'm going to be in Tampa, St. Pete on October 12th and 13th, Miami on October 14th, and C-SPAN's going to film that, so that should be very useful. And then Orlando on October 15th.
Well, you might as well stop on over at my place. We'll do dinner.
That would be wonderful.
I'm in Fort Myers. I find you a good spot here in right-wing heaven. I don't know how many people would show up at your book signing in the area where I live. I have to warn you right now. Wow. I'm sure.
Well, I'm doing evening events all of those days in those cities, but I could certainly come by for breakfast.
All right. We'll work it out. David, the title of your book says it all, Undoing the Imperial Presidency, and we know what you're talking about, and forming a more perfect union. Why did you have so many things that you've covered in your blogging career? Why is it you decided to write this particular book?
Well, and daybreak is the word that comes before all of that in the title. It's good, I think, sometimes to take some time and step back from the immediate lobbying for a particular bill and protesting a particular abuse, and think about strategically, what are we trying to accomplish and how could we accomplish it better? And what exactly, in the broader historical scheme of things, has happened in the past 8 or 10 years that needs perhaps to be undone and reversed? So part of the book is that, what's gone wrong and what needs to be done about it. And much of the book is, where would we actually like this country to go and how can we as citizens make that happen?
You've got so many interesting asides in this book. I noticed one quote in there by our mutual friend Ray McGovern. Stories about the CIA and things where you've dug deep to find out what happened and how we got to the point where we are now. And I wonder your resources for this. You must have spent a tremendous amount of time doing resourcing for this book.
Not really, not much.
What do they do? I'll call you?
I have some material in here that I've researched and that I've come up with in the past several months and years of working on these issues. This wasn't a topic that was brand new to me. I was just sort of taking a break from activism and journalism to write a book. But where I did have to do more research was in terms of theories for how we might pass better laws and even amend our Constitution to move in a better direction. I have some thoughts in mind for future books that will, I think, take a lot more research time than this one did.
Well, it always seems like a daunting task to me. I would love to write a book, and I have something I would like to write about, but every time I sit down and think about doing it, it seems like such a humongous task to sit down and write a substantive book like you have here.
Well, I'll tell you what you do, because this is what I did, and some friends of mine who are probably going to produce wonderful books are now doing it. You tell everybody that for the next month, I won't answer my phone or my door or my emails or my Twitter or my Facebook. I'm gone for a month. And then you sit down and start writing a book.
Okay. Good idea.
If you don't have a job or a radio show or something like that.
Yeah. I noticed you sure got some good people backing this book. My God, we've had all these people on the show, John Nichols and Medea Benjamin and Mark Garlin and Marjorie Cohen. You've gone very deep with your roots across the country with many different organizations, many different people with your organization and all the political work that you've done with one of my favorite people in particular. I wonder how many people know that you were so heavily involved with Dennis Kucinich. Everybody listening know that? Let me know by email if you all knew that David was his press secretary. I'd like to know how many of you knew that. Some people
I was for his presidential campaign in 2004. That was my job.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from that experience.
I'll bet you did. What really got you started in all this? What really, I mean, you've been at it for some time now. What really got you to put the bug in your head that you wanted to go ahead and did you set out to do this or was it an accident?
To engage in activism
and
politics? Well, I'd never been to anything else. I'd never been able to keep a job where anybody told me what to do. I was a reporter at newspapers, and there were things I couldn't write, things I was allowed to write. That wasn't going to work. I've never been able to do things that someone told me to do. Writing a book where you sit down and write what you want, not what some newspaper editor wants, and doing activism where you're pressing for peace and justice and without even the compromises that a politician has to make, but with the purity that activism allows, that's the kind of thing that I just enjoy and do for the good of my community and my country and my world, even if I had money, you know. So it's something I've become a workaholic at, I think, because I enjoy it and see a need for it and because I can't do anything else.
I think all the right-wingers listening right now say, see, Marge, it's another one of them damn anti-authoritarian liberals. Can't work for anybody else. He's just no damn good. I can hear him say it right now. Can't work for anybody else. Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's true and it's not true, right? Because I'm the one saying we ought to have laws applied to all of us. I'm willing to abide by laws and be punished when I violate laws, and I want the same applied to people like Dick Cheney. I don't know how my right-wing interlocutor would respond to that.
Well, it finds some cockamamie way to respond to it, a non-response, actually. Right you are, David. It is about laws, and it is about laws pertaining to all of us and treating us all in the same manner. And we've gotten so far away from that, and you talk about in that a lot in the book. We've gotten so far away. We've got two different classes being punished in different ways by laws, or not punished at all, as in Dick Cheney's case. Do you honestly think anything will ever happen? I see, what was it today? We got a group up in Congress trying to repeal the, I forget what they called it now, the
immunity from
the immunity. They're trying to repeal some of that. Do you think we'll ever get to the point where we can go after some of those bastards that led us into this mess?
I don't think we have any choice, and I think if a fraction of the public, the section of the public, the majority of the public that supports it, act, does a little bit of work, then absolutely we're going to put these people behind bars and restore the rule of law in a stronger way than we've ever had it before. If we sit on our couches and watch TV, then no, we're not. And we may see other countries, beginning with Spain, indicting and convicting our former top officials. We may see people like Ashcroft and you and Cheney being held liable in civil suits as a result of crimes that are public knowledge but for which they're not indicted. And in the bigger picture, the reason why this matters, we're going to see a continuation of crimes and abuses by the current government and future governments in years to come because there's no deterrence. If the lawmakers are above the law and the rest of us are under the law.
Well, they certainly have applied it in that way, and that is the danger. If we get a really despotic administration, not that we have
but
power.
But it's not an if anymore.
That's
right?
Right.
I mean, when it used to be theoretical, after the sainted Obama term, we might get somebody bad. Well, Obama hasn't committed as egregious crimes or as many as Bush and Cheney, although, you know, give him time. But he's cementing in place the structures that they put there. So he's not throwing out the signing statements that made laws. He's writing his own. Not as many, not as egregious, but he's fixing in place that you can do that. And the executive orders and the secret memos. He's not prosecuting those who wrote secret memos to legalize torture and aggressive wars. He's allowing prosecutions of low-ranking officials who strayed from the illegal policies in secret memos, fixing in place the idea that a president can tell a lawyer to legalize a crime by writing a secret memo. Same with preventive detention, with rendition, with the power to torture, with the aggressive wars, with the drone strikes, with the financial policies. We get announcements of better policies on state secrets and White House visitor logs and signing statements, but it's all whitewash. None of it puts an ounce of power in anything other than the executive branch. And this is all being fixed in place for the continuation of crimes right now and for every future president of whatever flavor we elect or select.
Once they get a taste of that, they don't want to let it go, and I know just about everybody I've talked to that voted and helped elect President Obama is a bit disappointed in because of the things you just mentioned. We can't let it go on, and we did all have a feeling, at least I did, and call me naive, but I thought maybe that he would backtrack and repeal some of these things and get rid of it, but there's been no effort whatsoever to do any of that. In fact, this movement today by, who is it, Feingold, and I'm trying to think of who else, Patrick Leahy, and to repeal this is the first that I know of since the administration has started that they've done anything about going back and taking a better look at anything, as far as I know.
Well, that's not the president doing that. That's a handful
right.
of senators doing that. And it is, I, frankly, naive to think a president would give it. Congress is on it is possible. I don't think that's naive. I think that's where our hope lies. And at prosecutebushcheney.org, which is part of afterdowningstreet.org, you'll find numerous bills and resolutions that have been put in both sides of Congress, including Feingold's recent Justice Act, which would undo parts of the Patriot Act, as well as this new bill on stripping away telecom immunity, and many others. And we should be pushing those things. But if Congress refuses to impeach anyone from the executive branch, anyone at all, including Jay Bybee, who's now a lifetime judge, and refuses to enforce subpoenas, so Patrick Leahy asks Bybee to come in, and he says, I don't want to, and Leahy says, okay, then Congress has no powers And it doesn't matter what laws we have if they aren't going to be enforced.
Exactly. Rights We've Had is one of the chapters in your book. What do you think has been the greatest erosion of rights that we had, if you had to pick one or two?
Well, I go through all of them in terms of those enumerated in Bill of Rights and the other amendments and the original Constitution. I mean, habeas corpus was in the original Constitution. You didn't even need a Bill of Rights for it. Habeas corpus left us solidly, departed us perhaps permanently, when Bush and Cheney began simply holding people without charge, without trial, indefinitely, in secret in some cases. We now have the current president had proposed that he was going to try to legislate a new policy. This is how he would include Congress, get them to pass a bill to permanently throw out habeas corpus. Now he said, no, I'm just going to rely on the authorization to use military force, even though that does no such thing and could do no such thing. We are putting in place a permanent removal of habeas corpus, but take any right, take freedom of speech, freedom of press, take any right. I mean, the Third Amendment is, to my knowledge, the only one they haven't touched because they absolutely didn't need to, right? They don't need to put soldiers up in our houses. We
right.
built permanent houses for the soldiers.
That's right.
The rest are in shambles.
Well, David, I know this book is having great success. We're talking to David Swanson, author of the great new book, a hot-selling book, Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and the Forming a More Perfect and Forming a More Perfect Union. What a great cover. Who came up with the cover of that book?
Well, I originally came up with the basic idea of the headline and the capital with the dawning of the sun behind it. Although the folks over at Seven Stories Press, after trying out various other schemes and coming back to that one, made it look much better than I possibly could have.
Well, you know, it's always one of those things, and I'm pretty sure you feel the same way. I go to Washington a lot, and I think you live in Virginia, don't you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought you did. Every time I go to Washington, I look at that beautiful building, and it is a marvelous structure, and I see the beauty of it, and I see what it. I think about what it stands for, and what it should stand for, and then I think about the dirty underbelly of what goes on sometimes in that building, and I don't know exactly where I've ever settled on how I feel about it. It's I've got ambivalent feelings about it, I think.
At least so. Me too.
Washington can mean the worst of the worst and the best of the best. It's odd. I constantly struggle with that. David, yes, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I want to wish you much success with the book and your tour. Maybe I'll get in touch and we can work out that breakfast thing one of these days here when you're in Florida. When is it you're in Florida? October when?
October 12th to 15th.
Okay, coming up not too long ago. Well, I'll get in touch. Maybe we'll work out that breakfast. I'd like to come to one of your signings there. So thanks so much for thanks so much for being on the program today. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, David Swanson. He's the co-founder of the After Downing Street Coalition and one of the most activist people in the entire country. I would say everybody knows that David has been so active. And David, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate your new book. I got a great copy of it sitting here, and I'm about three-quarters of the way through it, and I wish you much success on your book tour.
Thanks for your help, and love your show, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, David. David Swanson, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we will come back in just a moment or two, see where we're at here, and... Actually, I'm halfway lost on the production end of this here today. We will can't find what it was I was looking for here on my computer. But we will be back in just a moment. We'll be right back. Well, here we are with this phone thing again, trying to get through to our next guest. Let's try this, see if we can. There we go. You get to be in on everything here. You folks are our co-directors of the program. We are getting in touch with David Weigel at the Washington Independent, and we're going to talk about this crazy convention that took place last week. And I mean crazy. Phyllis Schlafly was at it. Does that tell you enough? Michelle Bachmann was at it. Does that tell you anything? And let's see if we get through this time. Oh, come on. This drives me crazy. Let's try it one more time. Amongst yourselves. Well, I don't know what's happening here. I wish I did. Tell you what, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to call them and have them call in to us. There's something wrong with the X-Lite phone today, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes, okay? Bear with me on this. Here very, very shortly, okay? Just hang on for 1 minute, and there we go. think we... No? God. Hello?
Hi, this is Dave.
Hi, Dave. Welcome to the Guy James Show. Folks, we finally do after all this mess on my part here, and it is me somehow, I'm sure, and me and the gremlins. We have David Wagle with us from the Washington Independent. And, David, thanks for joining us today, and sorry about the mess with the phone here.
It's, oh, no, no worries. Thanks for having me.
It's live radio. It happens. I understand... enjoyed going to a function this week. What was it, in St. Louis?
It was in St. Louis, Missouri. Enjoyed is a very promising verb too.
That I really wished I could have been to. I was at the Netroots Nation thing in Pittsburgh here a while back, and I noted that what's his name from the Wall Street Journal was. In on many of the meetings he stopped in. Oh, gosh, why can't I think of his name? One of my
John
least,
Fund.
John Fund. One
probably,
of the,
yeah.
Yeah, one of my least favorite people. And I thought, boy, I wish I could head out to one of their functions coming up. And you did it. You went to this How to Take Back America conference. It had to be
a, basically all I do. Yeah, I just go to conservative conferences. Yeah, this month at least, it's been a banner month for conservative conferences and events.
Well, tell me something. On ratings from 1 to 10, has there been a better one than this? I mean, looking at it from my point of view.
Well, it depends what the meaning of the word better is. It definitely...
Crazy.
It definitely had more out there criticism of the president than anything you'll see in D.C., most likely. Anything you'll see in D.C. with a media presence to lie on. There wasn't much media there, is one reason why. I covered it, and local St. Louis radio covered it. Otherwise, I think there were a couple, some of the big videos that come out of it have been from undercover liberal bloggers who just bought tickets, to go incognito. Wasn't much media there, so with that freedom, you heard people talking about, how Barack Obama was killing babies, and how the one world government was on its way, how the North American Union was coming. People who in D.C. would not say this felt free to say it.
So the lack of media, do you suppose the lack of media is what behooved people like Huckabee and Bachman and King and Schaffley and some others to say some of the things that they did to this group?
I think so, but One thing I keep saying when I'm putting together the video of this stuff is that the window's just shifted. It used to be something if a member of Congress claimed that Democrats wanted to destroy national sovereignty. That used to be, shocking. It's not shocking anymore. That's almost de rigueur for a Republican to make this criticism of Democrats. And Democrats don't even really you have, Trent Franks,
ooh,
congressman from Arizona, who said a few things that they complained about, but there's otherwise, you know, it's just another Tuesday. If Michelle Bachman claims that Barack Obama is trying to put people in camps.
Yeah, well, let me tell all of our listeners, and once again, I want to let everybody know we're listening right now. Our guest is David Wagle from the Washington Independent, and he attended the How to Take Back America conference in St. Louis here recently. Let me just give you this quote from Representative Trent Franks of Arizona. Obama's first act as president of any consequence in the middle of a financial meltdown was to send taxpayers' money overseas to pay for the killing of unborn children in other countries. Now, I got to tell you, if a president will do that, there's almost nothing that you should be surprised at after that. We shouldn't be shocked that he does all these other insane things. A president that has lost his way that badly has no ability to see the image of God in these little fellow human beings. If he can't do that right, then he has no place in any station of government, and we need to realize that he is an enemy of humanity. Republican Representative Trent Franks of Arizona. Whoa! That was a bit over the top, I thought.
But not for that crowd.
I guess not. Yeah.
It's intellectually consistent, isn't it? If you believe that
it is,
a fetus is a person, and you believe that Democrats have made for years and years, 36 years, the murder of these people, then you're kind of a coward if you don't say that. So this was an opportunity for Republicans to feel their oats and to say what they really thought. Franks is, this is what happens when you lose a lot of seats. Franks is kind of a backbencher, hasn't gotten a lot of attention. And he's from a state with not a with a media. I mean, Arizona has a political media, but not a lot of stuff that rocketed into the national consciousness. I mean, in the age of really easily uploaded video and things like that, you know, these out there comments are able to get around really quickly. And he hasn't really adapted to that yet.
Did you get a chance to sit in on the? Did they do this in normal fashion, split up into plenaries and different groups and all? I assume they did.
They did. It was about 600 people who showed up, which was a record for this organization. It was Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum, the main sponsor. Janet Porter, who I won't go into now, but is a bit of a rising star on the very, very extreme Christian right, pumped up the numbers by advertising this on her show. So 600 people show up, and it was divided between big sessions in a main ballroom where they heard speeches and smaller sessions where they heard about 50 people at a time, 100 people at a time would hear from experts.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Franks led one of these panels. The Frank Gaffney, who's a... I would almost call him neoconservative, but he's I think he's too far right to get a job.
I call him something else.
Right now. He went on. He got a question about the North American Union. And he just claimed it is a real thing. Then there are translateral groups, which there are North American partnership groups, sure. That but the claiming that they have as their goal. They have as their goal the destruction of the border between America, Canada, and Mexico.
Oh, yeah, they're building that big highway and that whole deal.
Yeah, I mean, those are the kind of things that broke off in panels. And those are the kind of things, let me give an example. There wasn't a session about President Obama's citizenship. There were people there who talked about it. But one example of the difference you see in a Washington, D.C. event is that CPAC, the big yearly conservative conference, has said no uncertain terms. They're not going to have any session about that or invite a speaker who talks about that. They were embarrassed when somebody talked about that. Here, it was not a controversial thing to talk to people about whether or not the president was a citizen. And this is a part of the Republican base that shows up at town halls. And when they show up at the town halls, I think, are usually covered as real Americans with real anger who represent the center of the healthcare debate. I mean, it gives you another sense when you see conservatives like this saying what they really think.
And you had the infamous retired Lieutenant General William Boykin at this event. Did you get a chance to see his speech?
I did. I talked to him before and after, and he basically had to go into it. He didn't say anything as notorious as the scandals that have made his name, like his proselytizing in full uniform that against Islam, and his role during the Bush administration in Gitmo. But he just went on about, one, how we're heading towards fascism, two, that if the only thing that had saved us since 9/11 was intercessory prayer, that only the prayer of Christians had stopped Al-Qaeda from succeeding another attack. And if enough people prayed, then we could, in his words, bring about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Or open the gates of heaven. I don't want to get that wrong. This is a guy who, a fairly popular conservative speaker, actually.
Well, yeah, there's that big impenetrable prayer wall there that has kept all the things away from us there. It scares the hell out of me that this guy
was... candles and rosaries, yeah.
Lieutenant General. I had a quote from here. He says, it's only because of intercessory prayer that we haven't been hit again since September. Pray for America for 10 minutes a day. If we can mobilize millions of prayer warriors that can pray for 10 minutes a day, we can open the gates of heaven.
Yes, that sounds pretty nice.
Well, it does. I'm kind of a little bit swayed by it. And of course, we had this woman, I can't think of her name. Of course, we had Michelle Bachmann there. And
yes.
Michelle, as I understand it, was autographing, what was it, copies of, I had a picture of it, what Michelle was autographing some of these weird things that were going around. I'm trying to think of this lady. And we had Stephen King there, from Republican from Iowa. We had Huckabee there.
I think what you're referring to with Bachmann is that there was a...
A CD or...
A speaker there, Katie Worthman, who makes a living, I would say, giving speeches about how Hitler took over Austria and Germany and how he was going to... and how fascism could happen in America. So you could buy a recording of her speech, and that was one of the things Bachmann saw. She was just signing everything put in front of her. I mean, she's a... Schlafly introduced her as one of the new Republican stars, and she thanked Schlafly profusely for creating the minor conservative movement. I mean, that's the thing here. Schlafly has some extreme views. She's very quick to accuse people of socialism, and she did this during the Bush administration, too. She didn't endorse, like some people in her movement, Mike Huckabee for president because she thought some of his policies were too close to socialism. So she used to be a kind of person that conservatives who wanted to win the whole country didn't associate with. But now she's back. Now it's you've got Michelle Bachmann, who's by many indications one of the rising stars in the Republican Party. I mean, she's, I think, on TV once every 7 days.
Mm.
More than that recently, if you count all the financial channels. You've got, and she says, I was influenced by Schlafly. Schlafly calls her a star. There's a bit of a torch passing.
Oh, there is. Worthman, that woman you mentioned, she had a quote in there. Don't you dare give up your guns. Never, never,
right.
Never. And someone in the back of the room, it says, called out, give them back one bullet at a time. I love this. And then we had Huckabee asking that they jackhammer the UN building off and let it float away in the East River or Hudson River, whichever one it I forget which my river's there.
Yeah, and that was something surprising about this. Is that Mike Huckabee doesn't really need to win these people over. It's like putting fertilizer in an old growth forest. I mean, these are his base. This is how he won the Iowa caucus with one tenth as much money as Mike Huckabee as Mitt Romney. Is that these people worship him, I would say, and he shows up and just gives them more red meat. One, he gets introduced by Janet Porter, who has, I mean, very controversial views. She's on record saying that she believes Mitt Romney can be president because Mormons think Satan is Jesus' brother. And then he goes in and makes these comments about the UN, which are reminiscent of what Barry Goldwater said in 1964, that the country would be better off if we sawed off the eastern seaboard. There are liberal conferences, certainly. There's a lot. I mean, there are liberal... Democratic Party has powerful interest groups, and people appeal to them. They'll, ACORN is a bit toxic now, but most Democratic candidates who want to go somewhere used to go to the ACORN conference. But you can review those tapes. There's never anything quite like this. There's never people on mic, on camera, comparing the president to back then when it was Bush, comparing him to Hitler, or saying he was an enemy of humankind for, say, the war in Iraq. It's the extremism that Republicans were willing to associate themselves with was just eye-opening.
Oh, I very much agree. I go to a lot of these, the Take Back America conference every year and all that, and there's no extremism there. Admittedly, I'm a liberal Democrat, but I do know it when I see it, and it's condemned if anybody says anything that crazy. And there was a lot of craziness, to be sure. I would like to ask you, when you're at these events, do these people know who you are or why you're there? Or are you there kind of like undercover?
No, I'm not there undercover. I basically get press credentials. I've only been denied once for press credentials. It was too at an anti-immigration conference Pat Buchanan was organizing. And that was because I had exposed the racist comments of one of his employees. I just get press credentials, and I show up, and I interview people as a member of the press. And I think the thing is, I don't go in trying to embarrass people. I really just talk to them and want to write a story or as many blogs as possible every time. Now, I'll rush and write it if somebody says something that really raises eyebrows. But, look, you know, it's not – Trent Franks is going to be annoyed that once again he said something that the national media focused on and Chris Matthews made fun of. But in the long run, it's more fun for Trent Franks to appear at something and get media attention than it is for him to make this trip to St. Louis and get nothing from it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So if most of these guys are good with the media. They'll talk to the media.
We're trying to get negotiating right now to get Minutemen head Jim Gilchrist on the show tomorrow. And, you know, he knows what he's walking into here, speaking of racist people in the immigration movement. So I guess I know what that's like. But you get treated okay then when you go to these. You don't have anybody over your shoulder.
Oh, generally, I mean, Phyllis Schlafly's some of her grown children were there, and they invited me over. One of them, Andy, invited me over to his table during the final banquet of the close of the ceremony. Just, you know, they like it when people take them seriously. I take them seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really am interested in what they think, and when it comes to the people who show up and fill out the ranks and fill the banquet, I'm interested in what they say too. So you know, it's this is a problem I have sometimes with the liberal media infrastructure. And I don't really consider myself part of it. I guess some people do. There's a lot of just let's find out what this Republican said and make fun of it. Well, one that's you know. That's distracting. You could be doing a lot of things with that media time. And two, it's, you know, that's not who these people are in the political scene. They didn't get into office to make the occasional gaffe. They got in there because they believed this stuff. So why do they believe this stuff?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. That's the more important. Sure, you can make fun of it, and you can have a good time with a lot of it, but the serious part of it is they are serious. And Phyllis Schlafly is serious about, and this Werthmann woman had talked to all these people are serious. I assume they're serious. It would be a shame if they went to these things and said some of the things they do and they weren't serious about it just to get some press or you know, to have you write about them. But, well, very interesting. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dave, I want to thank you very much for being on the program today. It's been a pleasure. I hadn't talked to anybody that had been to this thing yet, but I read a lot about it, and you were there on the right in the thick of it. So, hey, thanks for being on the program today. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, David Weigel from the Washington Independent, and he covered that How to Take Back America conference. David, thank you for being on the Guy James Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll talk to you again. All right. Well, it's time to take a break and get ready for the news coming up. We're a little bit late on that, so let's do it now, okay?
I'm Doug Cunningham. AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka wants insurance commissioners in Connecticut, New York, Indiana, and Pennsylvania to investigate insurance company lobbying to see if it has any impact on the price of premiums. Two of the four biggest insurance companies, WellPoint and Cigna, are headquartered in those states. Trumka says the billions of dollars spent by the insurance industry on lobbying, including millions to defeat health care reform, have clearly impacted consumers' health care costs. He says that the AFL-CIO believes political lobbying by insurance companies has led to excessive premium rate hikes. One company in Connecticut, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, has requested a rate hike of 30% while spending more than $9.5 million on lobbying. Trumka is also calling for an investigation into United Healthcare and Anthem WellPoint for forcing their employees to attend meetings designed to pressure them into helping their employers fight healthcare reform. The United Farm Workers are gathering online petition signatures calling on the Guillemara Company to respect the rights of workers picking its grapes. 10% of the grapes sold in America are from Guillemara. UFW says the company is anti-union and in 100-degree heat forced workers to race for their jobs by telling them that the worker with the fewest number of boxes picked would be suspended. If you support the farm workers, you can go to ufwaction.org to sign the online petition. Healthcare workers in New York are holding a rally in Albany today to protest a state regulation that requires flu vaccination. New York is the only state in the union that has such a law, and state employees must be immunized for both seasonal flu and H1N1 by November 30th. Workers are concerned that the H1N1 vaccine has not been adequately tested. The Center for Disease Control has stated that the new vaccine is safe. Argentine police attacked workers occupying a craft plant in Buenos Aires this week. Jesse Russell reports.
11 workers were injured and more than 60 arrested as police fired tear gas and rubber bullets at workers at a craft plant in Buenos Aires this weekend. The laid-off workers had been occupying the plant and halted operations. A recent agreement between the Labor Ministry and Kraft promises to honor existing jobs, but it did not address 150 workers who were let go in August. In addition to occupying the plant, some former workers blocked an access road to the plant on Friday. Here is today's economic report. Another study of healthcare costs has projected that the cost to workers will rise substantially over the next year. According to a report from Hewitt Associates, next year the average out-of-pocket expense for healthcare will be $4,023, a jump of 10% from this year. Companies will also watch as their costs edge up by 6%. They'll be paying on average $9,120 per employee. According to the study's author, within 7 years, healthcare costs could double.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, welcome back to the Guy James Show, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, Naples, Fort Myers area. It is a pleasure to be with you today. Hope you're enjoying the program. We've had a couple of really good interviews. Dave Weigel from the Washington Independent talking about that nutcase convention they had in St. Louis last weekend. I would love to have been there. And, of course, David Swanson talking about his new book, Daybreak. David is enjoying much success with his book, and we wish David the very best on it, on his tour. I think I will try and get together with him for breakfast while he's down here. David is, he's done so much politically, and I'm so proud of the work that he's done, and it's good to see that commercially that this book is paying off for him. And I'm so glad to see that. I really am. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us here on the program. 866-546-5254. What did you think when you read about this right-wing Facebook poll of whether or not our president should be killed? Did you see that? This is what I'm talking about when I talk about these people. The rhetoric, to be sure, during the Bush administration was hot and heavy coming from our side. But I don't recall anybody saying that Bush needed to be killed, or he was Hitler incarnate, or he was this, he was that. Yes, we criticized him hard and often, but nowhere near I don't have to tell you how mean it is out there right now. We're talking about some serious mean streets when we're talking about what the Republicans are doing right now. And here we are with the Republicans pretty much in the press having their way with the Democrats. They truly are. There's no use denying it. They are having their way with us. And I had a chance during the last couple of weeks to listen to a lot, quite a lot, of the right-wing radio host. And I didn't do this by accident. I did it on purpose. I wanted to hear where they're going with it and what they're saying and get a good feel for, you know, how they're going along. And we got Lou Dobbs, and you know, the thing is that I'm hearing right now is, and the one thing they're trying to promote, and they're doing it in a big way, is the victimhood, okay? And maybe you've heard some of them say this. We got Lou Dobbs. They're all victims. Glenn Beck, Hannity. Hannity's almost an afterthought these days. When they talk about broadcasters now, they're talking about Beck and Limbaugh. Isn't that something? Hannity's fighting to stay up there. But we've got Lou Dobbs and Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and Mark Levin, and Mark Levin throwing barbs at Beck and Beck throwing them back. And Michael Savage, Michael Wiener, actually, Mike Gallagher, Bill O'Reilly, and Laura Ingraham, and all of them, to hear them tell it, are victims of the so-called liberal media. And they just go on and on and on about this, about how they are victims of this huge liberal media machine. And, you know, I've done a bit of research on this, and I know this for a fact, what I'm about to tell you. This is a fact. This monster liberal media machine. If you add up all of the listeners of Keith Olbermann, Ed Schultz, Tom Hartman, and most likely all of the rest of the liberal broadcasters, including Bob and myself, the total of all of the liberal broadcasters wouldn't come close. And I'm talking not even close to the number of just one of the top neocon broadcasters I mentioned. Not even close, a fraction. If you take all the liberal broadcasters in the country and add their listenership together, they don't come up to us, but only to a small fraction of a Limbaugh or a Beck. You understand what I'm saying there? It's in the past couple of weeks, I've heard every single one of these conservative broadcasters I mentioned say they are being victimized by the liberal media. This is a monstrous lie. This is such unfiltered bullshit that I want to explode when I hear it. And the part that really sucks is the fact that most of their listeners believe there actually is a functioning liberal media. Let me tell you, there isn't. Since Barack Obama became president, there has been a non-stop screed of the most vicious hatred, racism, bigotry, and disgusting vile rhetoric such as I have never imagined. And if you remember, before the election, I predicted that they would act like vicious cornered rats if they were defeated, but I never imagined they would carry things to the extremes that they have. Call me naive, but I did not think that so-called Americans would sink so low. But they have exceeded my expectations many times over. And what I've heard, actual audio and seen video of in the last couple of weeks, actual audio and video that I have seen, I have witnessed myself, I'm not taking somebody else's word for it, that Obama is a terrorist, he's a nigger, He's the Antichrist. He's a Manchurian candidate. He's Hitler's twin. He's demonic. He's anti-Christian. He's a Muslim. He's anti-American. He's un-American. He's a non-American traitor to the American way. He hates America, and he's hell-bent upon destroying it. His health care plan is the work of a commie socialistic Marxist dictator, and on and on and on it goes. I have heard all of that, and I'm sure you have as well. They really are throwing everything but the kitchen sink at him. And the Democrats? Those on the left? Those who really are interested in what's best for America instead of playing politics? Who's getting our message out? Why, that great all-powerful liberal media. That's who. Just think about some of the stories. We had Governor Sanford in South Carolina. We got this Joe Wilson bastard calling the president a liar to his face. Senator John Ensign and that whole mess of his. David Vitter and the rest of the C Street gang. How much real digging did the so-called liberal media do for those stories? I know I didn't do very much, and Bob didn't do very much. Our staffs weren't too busy. They were non-existent. Glenn Beck has a staff of 32 people. 32. Limbaugh is about the same. Ditto for Hannity and some of the rest. Here at the Horn, we're lucky to keep the electric bill paid. We don't have any staff. We can't afford any staff. We can't afford to pay for the upkeep of our equipment. We can't afford the goddamn paper and ink we use unless we dig into our own nearly empty pockets. I work 7 days a week, not counting the show, and 18 hours on the days we can stream it. Here's what I could say. Now, I don't mean to complain, but I could say that. But I do mean to complain, and complain I'm going to. I'm really completely fed up with all of this. I've made so many trips to Washington, D.C., to New York, to Chicago, to Boston, and nearly everywhere you could name where there's any foundations that supposedly support liberal causes, and I've come away with zip. Nada. Freaking nothing. Been promised the damn moon, but never got anything in the way of help from any of them. And the politicians, you know, I appreciate it when people send me email and give me suggestions. I do. I value your comments. And many of you send emails and say, well, why don't you try and talk to this, you know, the DNC, and why don't you try and get sponsors, and why don't you just don't realize what it is we're up against. You just don't know. And some have mentioned, well, I'll go to this politician or that politician. Go to the politicians for help. It really, that's funny. And I know I've told this story before, but I was there when a group of politicians long ago invited some of us to Washington nearly 8 years ago and said they were going to get liberal radio off the ground. I saw in person what happened at that gathering, and I know all the dirty dealing that took place, and it had nothing whatsoever to do with furthering the goal of establishing liberal radio. It had to do with furthering the political ambitions of one United States senator, and that is all. That's how Ed Schultz got his ship launched. He was a frickin' conservative who had some money shoved under his nose, and he took it and experienced a miraculous conversion to liberalism. It was all bullshit, and it still is. But these are the stories we have to tell on the liberal side, that we don't have serious people out here for the most part with any funding to combat what's going on from these liars from the right. We know what we're up against. We know what it takes to defeat them. We know what it takes to answer their charges. And don't forget this. They get on the air 24-7 in many communities. That's all there is. That's all there is in my community. 24-7 right-wing talk. 24-7 on several radio stations. And I challenged a couple of acquaintances of mine to let the three of us sit and listen to Glenn Beck and Hannity and O'Reilly. And would they pay me $5 for every lie I could absolutely prove and identify during their programs? And they refused to do it with me. They refused to do it with me. But these guys listen to these programs. And they're convinced that what they're hearing is the truth. They want to believe what they hear is the truth. And as far as anybody on the left doing anything about it, we're not doing anything about it. Nothing meaningful whatsoever. Yeah, we got a couple of TV shows on. But for good syndicated, hardcore liberal radio, come on. It's just not happening. And it's just not happening because the Democrats and liberals aren't willing to put their money where their mouths are. Now, here a while ago, and you may get tired of hearing me say this, and if you do, just turn the damn thing off. But I'm going to say it again. A while ago, we had a bunch of Democrats and liberals get together and have this war against Glenn Beck. They were going to get a bunch of his sponsors to drop off of Glenn Beck's program and thus try and end the Glenn Beck show. Well, that didn't do a damn thing to hurt Glenn Beck. In fact, it helped him. He's more famous now than he ever was, and believe me, that's all he's after. He could not possibly believe the outrageous, bodacious crap that he spews out of his mouth every single day. No one could believe that. Well, I shouldn't say no one, now should I? Because a large proportion of Americans do believe every word that comes out of his mouth. So they get this big group up, and they fight, and they get a bunch of his sponsors taken away off of his program. Did it hurt him? No. No. It was manna from heaven for Glenn Beck. Some of them got off his show, but they kept their money right there at Fox Network. Didn't hurt Fox one bit. Meanwhile, Glenn Beck gets more press. He gets his name on the front of more magazines. He's the hot star of the media today, and there never has been a more vicious, monstrous, son-of-a-bitch liar on the air in the United States of America than Glenn Beck. There's never been a worse one, not even Limbaugh. Not even Hannity. Never been a worse one, and what did we do? We just helped him along. Helped him get bigger and stronger and more powerful. And we had this big effort to get out there and fight and have petitions signed and send them to all these sponsors and got them to say, well, we won't be on Glenn Beck show. Imagine if we rerouted those efforts into something actually meaningful for our side, if we redirected those efforts and used them to raise funding and to raise consciousness and awareness for liberal programs. Imagine if we did that. Imagine if we put our efforts in that direction. Instead of fighting a ridiculous fight against Glenn Beck, why not put forth an effort to help the liberal broadcasters? But then again, I realize that most of the time when I say that, I'm talking to the wall. And other liberal broadcasters that have been around have talked to the wall as well. What is it about us? What is it? Do you believe we have no one with talent on the left? Do you believe that no one from the left can compete with these people? I happen to think we have plenty of people on the left that can compete with these people, if only given the venue to do it. But we're not being given the venue to do it, and let me tell you why. There aren't enough people saying that's what they want. There aren't enough people getting hold of their local radio stations and imploring them to put on some balance for a change. There aren't any people calling the local radio stations where I live and saying, hey, I'm goddamn tired of hearing nothing but right-wingers all day long. How about putting the other side on for a change? We'll support you. There's none of that going on. None of that going on at all. My question is why? Why? Do we enjoy having the hell beat out of us every day in the national media? And then be accused of having this huge liberal media machine? We have no liberal media machine. Come on. I'm not talking through my hat. I know what I'm talking about. I told you I started a show today that we are on the endangered species list. And the last of the species will be gone soon if we don't find some funding soon. I don't know anymore. I don't know what the liberal audience wants. I don't know what they need. I don't know what they'll support. I really don't know. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And once again, I want to thank those sons of bitches down at Galliana Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Fort Myers, Florida, for being the thieves that they are, especially their general manager, Leon. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Week before jury. TV, faggy. Everyone under...
I want to be just like my president. I want to make more money than I can spend. I want to build more bombs than I can send. Somewhere I can even spell the name of. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big Big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across the sky. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome. Come on, you black and Hispanic boys, keep your poetry.
Tim in a bill. She made secret talk to the funky man from a mansion on the hill. It was out on Thunder Road, tweeted at the wheel. They crashed into paradise, they could hear them tires squeal. They left up from a cop pulled up and said, everyone is a liar. If you don't surrender now, it's gonna go down to the wire.
And the walls came down.
An ambulance rolled up, a straight trooper close behind. Tweeted out his gun away and messed up his mind. The undercover cop was left tied up to a tree near the souvenir stand by the old abandoned factory. Next day the undercover cop was a hot in pursuit. He was taking the whole thing personal, he didn't care about the loot. Janet told him many times it was new to me who taught. There's Jersey, anything's legal as long as you don't get caught.
The walls came down, all the way to hell. Never saw them when they're standing, never saw them when they fell.
Undercover cop had cornered him, said, "Boy, you didn't think that this could last." Jan jumped up out of bed, said, "It's someplace I gotta go." She tucked his gun out of the drawer and said, "It's best if you don't know." The undercover cop was found face down in a field. The monkey man was on the river bridge using Tweeter as a shield. Jan said to the monkey man, "I'm not fooled by Tweeter's pillow. I knew it long before he ever became a Jersey girl."
Here with the Guy James Show this afternoon on this Tuesday, 29 September 2009, and I'm greeted with the news that the Senate panel voted down. Oh boy. Max Baucus and Olympia Snow just voted against the public health insurance option and the Senate Finance Committee. Well, well, well. Is there any surprise that Max Baucus would do that? No, I guess not. I don't really understand how somebody can elect a bunch of constituency that can elect a man who will vote against their interest and vote against their wishes. How do you do that? How do you go to the polls and vote for a man who votes against something he knows damn well you want? How does that work? Is he being representative of his people? The answer is no. Hell no. I don't know. Public, the Senate panel votes down second public option amendment. Panel, let me see, 15-8 vote. And they voted down Schumer's 13-10. Don't know what's happening with the phones today. Let's see here. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy, this is Sarge. How are you doing?
Hi, Sarge. How are you?
Hey, I want to back you up on what you're saying about liberal radio and stuff, because I know where you're talking about, buddy, and I agree with you 100%. And I got something to say about that myself.
Well, we're not being done any favors, that's for sure.
No, I can tell you what problems we're having out here. Like, Jeff had a radio show on KXXT.
Jeff Farias, you're talking about?
It was making the ratings and stuff, and the Democrats would not get behind us. I went to some of the top-ranking Democrats, the money Democrats. I couldn't get them to turn loose of the money, and they were using excuses like, hey, it's a Christian broadcasting station, even though the station is looking for a new format. And they just bent over backwards to accommodate Jeff Farias. And we couldn't get the people to step up. There is a station here, KPHX, that claims to be a progressive station. Is run by this doctor. I'm not going to mention his name, but I think you know who he is, because Ben Hart certainly knows him.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually sabotaged accounts and told him, said, you don't want to be on a Christian station. You don't want to support a liberal show on that, because we need to be only on progressive radio. And so it sabotaged our whole operation. Of course, we're still doing it over the Internet. But you go and you talk to these Democrats, and you say, look, we're doing this. We actually can give you a second progressive station. And yet, you just can't get them to back up. And, of course, the excuse is, well, times are hard. The economy is bad. People don't have the money. Well, some people have the money.
I've had some dealings with that doctor you were talking about. And
he's awful.
Backstabber. And
I tell you what he did. He had this relaunch KPHX thing, and I attended it. He said, yeah, I've contacted all the former show hosts from KPHX before, and I wanted to speak up and say, wait a minute, that's a lie, because I wanted to pull a Wilson and say, you lie. But anyway, he actually said he had contacted him also. But after it, in front of people, I went up to him and said, hello, Dr. Newcomb, I'm Sarge. Oh, hey, Sarge. And I said, I've been trying to get in touch with you ever since I got here from Mississippi over 2 years ago. And this is the first time you and I have talked since I've been out here. And I said, you said you had contacted all the show hosts from before. I had a show on there. You know I had a show on KPHX for a year and a half, right? Yeah. And he said, I'll be getting in touch with you. Of course, I hadn't heard from him since.
No.
So this is he owes people money. He's told people, I'm not paying you. This is what we're stuck with. I mean, he's got enough limited funds right now to keep it going for a while. But in the meantime, someone like Jeff Farias, who is diligently working to give the voice of the people, the progressive voice of the people, an outlet, can't do it because people don't want to step up and put their money up. And it's really frustrating. And the Democrats have got to get together and put their money where their mouth is. I mean, I don't have money. I'm so drained. I can't I can't hardly rub two nickels together. Jeff hasn't worked in over a year now, and he doesn't have the money. But the Democrats, they won't do it.
Has Jeff been off of there ever since the Drobnys got out of it?
Well, he came back on KXXT with that show for several months, and he made the ratings. It was the first time since it was Air America that that station actually had a show make the ratings.
Uh-huh.
And it was doing good, and they even told Jeff, they said, you know, we will extend things to you through the end of the year. We'll give you the end of the year to come up with the financing. And I personally went and talked to several top Democratic officials in this state and tried to get them on board, and it was the excuse nobody has any money.
Yeah, well, of course.
So how you fight that, man? How you fight that? And then we got this little preacher out here that you've heard of, Stephen Anderson.
Yeah.
And this little gun-toting buddy, Chris Broughton, who I've actually interviewed. And people are saying, well, they're giving our state a bad name. Well, look, John Cowell, John McCain, Trent Frank, John Shattuck, all of these people represent our state. We got a bad name.
Well, is this the station that... Newcomb, is he trying to resurrect the station that he was involved with the Drobnys early on, when they first got involved out there, when they first started? Is that the station that he's resurrecting?
Yeah, 1480 KPHX,
okay.
And he puts on the show and in the afternoon drive time, and it's just He prepares for his show by getting in his car and driving to the station.
Yeah,
that's his prep. And of course, he's the same guy who, after Jeff was fired, turned around and came back on the air. And a caller asked him about our infamous sheriff out here, Joe Arpaio. And he says, "Oh, I like Joe. I have no problem with Joe." And they said, "Well, what about Dan Sabin?" And he says, "Oh, is Dan running?" And now, God, you're in this very show. Dan Sabin had commercials running on that station, even during his show, trying to get people to vote for him.
Oh.
So that's what we got passing for a progressive talk show host here.
Well, do they have anything else on there? Do they have Schultz or anybody?
Yeah, they have the lineup. They have Hartman and Schultz and Randy and Mike Malloy. But during the drive, the only one local is Mike Newcomb.
Uh huh. So Mike's on that station. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then during the weekends, it's a constant repeat of Mike Newcomb shows, except for a live two-hour show from the McChesney's brothers, the ones that went to after the Virginia Tech shootings,
mm-hmm.
went and bought up all websites to sell so they could make money off the tragedy. That's about his only weekend show. Other than this Capital Gold show, which has been investigated for inappropriate business dealings in other states, but that's what we got here.
Oh, I see. In an area,
and there is an advertiser on his website, Fascination, which is a sex shop.
Hmm.
So that's what we got here. Yeah.
All right. Well.
But anyway, Guy, I'm glad you're back on, man. You're an inspiration to me, and you hang in there, buddy, because, I don't know how much longer we can hang in out here. You know, if we don't, people don't step up to the plate, we've lost our progressive forces.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same all over, dropping like flies, so to speak. Sergeant,
and you and Bob, I'll keep it up.
Well, we try. We're trying.
Okay.
Good to hear from you, Sarge. Our old friend Sarge, my God, it's been a long time since I've talked to Sarge. Good to hear from him, that's for sure. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program. I've gotten a half a dozen emails here. Got an email from William, says, I'm curious, what did the car dealer do? I'm curious because I dealt with customers at a Ford dealership I work for and that felt they were being ripped off, and most all were, so I refunded them and made certain the repair was done right, and they were charged only for what was really needed. I can tell by me being honest brought in more customers and their trust, yet being honest in this manner, even though it brought in more happy long-term customers, was not quite seen the same way by upper management thugs, so after 8 years of high scores, I was fired. Well, quite simply this. I went to Galliana Chrysler Dodge Jeep here in town, and I own an automobile that that they sell, and the air conditioner was leaking the condensation off of it. You know, when you drive and you look under your car, if you let it set for a little while, there's that water coming off. It's the condensation off the air conditioner. Well, they have a box hooked onto the engine, and it's got a seal on onto the air conditioner, and it gathers that water, and it goes down a hose. And, well, it didn't get blocked or anything like that. The box got cracked, and the seal was broken. And it's a very difficult job to fix. I know that. And I took it to a couple of places and got a price on it, and I was horrified by the price. One guy wanted $540 to fix it, and I thought, man, that's just awful. So I went to this Chrysler dealer. First I called them, and they said, yes, we know. We know exactly what the problem is. We see that a lot. We've had a service bulletin on it and all that, and we know what it is. And so the service writer came on the phone and told me it'll take about two and a half hours to fix it. And I said, okay. So that would amount to about $225 or so. I said, all right. So I made an appointment to go get it fixed on Monday. And I went in. And after two and a half hours, they came out and told me that they had the diagnosis done. I said, well, I already had the diagnosis. I said, well, we can't trust what you think was wrong with it. And, okay, I understand that. So they charged me $99 for diagnosing it. And I knew this, but they said they would refund the diagnosis money if you had the repairs done at their shop. It's all right. So I said, all right, what do you want to fix it? I said, $1,140. And I'd already had this $540 one, which I thought was crazy. And they would not refund that money after telling me that. I even had it on audio. On the phone, had it recorded that they told me that's what it would cost. Anyway, the guy just told me to get out of his office, and I told him I'd give him some free advertising. So all of this make any sense to you? And so Leon, the general manager down at Galliana Chrysler Plymouth, who also has dealerships in Columbia, South Carolina, and I forget where all else, just told me to get out of the office. He didn't want to talk about it anymore. Especially when I played him the recording of his service writer telling me that it would only take two and a half hours and be $225. So that's what I got against them. And sue me, Leon. I'm going to send him an audio of this, by the way. Go ahead and sue me, Leon, if I've said one iota that isn't true here. So I would invite your lawsuit that he threatened me with if I said anything. So go right ahead, Leon. Have at it, buddy, at Galliana Chrysler Plymouth in Fort Myers, Florida. So William asked in an email, and there it is. That's what happened. I'm not going to get started on this. I was going to talk about credit cards today. I'm going to wait and do that tomorrow. Why don't you save up all your credit card stories for tomorrow, will you? Because we're going to talk about that tomorrow. And bankruptcy that it's leading a lot of people into, and the trials and tribulations of trying to deal with credit card companies in good faith. So if you have any stories about that tomorrow, I hope you'll call in with them. We will talk about those tomorrow. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to talk about anything else today. It was a pleasure having David Swanson on today. Did you see this free health care clinic they had in Texas? I forget what city it was in. Houston, Dallas, Austin, I don't know. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people came to it. And yet the politicians in Texas, the state that has more, a higher percentage of uninsured people than any other state, they don't give a damn. I'd still like to know, what is this program that the Republicans have to fix the health care problem? Haven't heard a thing. Have you? It's bad enough when I ask you that question. Do you know what the problem is? The fix that the Republicans have. Most of you don't know what the Democratic fix is, do you? Because it hasn't been explained very well, and of course we don't have the media out there explaining it. You know, there's an old saying that a lie uncorrected becomes the truth in 24 hours, and that's exactly what has happened with this healthcare story. Long ago, the Democrats were so inept at the way they promoted it. President Obama was so unbelievably inept at the way they put this thing forward. They got started on the wrong foot, and they stayed on the wrong foot all through this. And he gave that speech a few weeks back that temporarily helped a little bit. But they did this in such a terrible, haphazard fashion. And still today, most people on the left don't even know what's in this healthcare program. They really don't, because it just hasn't been explained properly. And I know it's a difficult thing to explain, but I've heard several explanations of it that were done in 5 minutes, most especially at the Networks Nation convention. I heard somebody explain it just absolutely perfectly, and I thought, my God, why can't the President of the United States explain this way? Chris Hayes from The Nation magazine explained it just perfectly, eloquently, so that anyone could understand. And yet we have the entire Democratic group of elected officials and the President of the United States, and no one's been able to put it forth in the manner that it should be put forth. And so there's confusion. And so this right-wing noise machine has been pounding and pounding and pounding away at it, telling one monstrous lie after another. And have those lies been corrected? No. The president made a little headway with a speech that night, the night that he was called a liar to his face and never really said anything about it. When is this president ever going to pound on the table a little bit and show some spunk? I love the guy. I do. You know I do. And I know most of you do. But I think it's time to get tough with these Republicans, and I think it's time to put a frown on your face and go after them and tell them how it is and what they are. And confront them with the lies and distortions, because they haven't been confronted nearly enough with it. Not nearly enough. But they've been able to tell these lies and prevarications and stretching the truth and just outright terrible lies about some of the things the Democrats have wanted to do. And they haven't been corrected at all. And they've been able to tell the lie, the very same lie they were telling 3 months ago. They're able to tell it again today because people like me, people like Bob Kincaid, we'll tell the truth about it, but we don't have a big enough megaphone. And the whole liberal media added together doesn't have a big enough megaphone. Take that seriously, will you? Sarge touched on it. He knows what we're facing. We really are on the endangered species list. We're growing less. We have less power on the liberal media now than we had a year ago. And the right-wingers are growing and growing and growing. Yeah. I guess you get what you want, you know. And evidently what everybody wants is to get on the Internet and bitch and moan and complain. But when it comes to actually doing something about it, it does get done. You know who I'm talking about, and I want to thank every single one of you who have ever contributed to this program. I know things are difficult. They're plenty difficult here as well. But I do not want to seem unappreciative to those of you who have helped fund this program over the years. We're coming up on our 8th anniversary. For the Guy James Show, we want to try and make it to that 8th anniversary. I don't know if we will or not. It's looking kind of doubtful. That would be on December 7th. Yes, December 7th. So, we'll see. Anyway, thanks so much for being with us today. I do appreciate your listenership so much. And it's good to be with you. Always good to be with you. Guess misery loves company. See how this healthcare thing comes out today. If anything is decided on it today, I guess we're not going to end up with a healthcare bill that's worth a damn. I can predict that right now. I have predicted that for some time now. And the media is a big part of it. Absolutely a big part of it. So once again, we're going to get what we deserve. Absolutely get what we deserve. Well, thanks for listening. Good to be with you once again here on the Guy James Show, and we'll be back tomorrow.